Today on Real Radio.
Do you hear the voice of this man now? He's got it. He went from chasing girls, burning down fields, beating up Philistines, tearing lions apart, quite the riddle guy, all this stuff that's going on, and had the world by the tail, and all that's gone now. And I want to argue with you tonight that that's a good thing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. And in fact, today we're hearing part of the last in this 10-part series, Staying Fit for the Master's Use, taken from Judges chapter 16 and verses 21 through 31. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And then the next call, remember there's three. There's only two recorded in English in 28, but there's three recorded in the Hebrew. The next call is when he cries out and he says, I pray just this once, O God. He calls Jehovah, Yahweh. You are my Yahweh. You're my Savior. You're my salvation. Do you hear the voice of this man now? He's got it. He went from chasing girls, burning down fields, beating up Philistines, tearing lions apart, quite the riddle guy, all this stuff that's going on, and had the world by the tail, and all that's gone now. And I want to argue with you tonight that that's a good thing. Sometimes we can't see God because of all the stuff that's in the way of our hearts. The third call is this. It goes from Adonai to Yahweh to Elohim. You're my God. You are my God. You're my personal God. You are my Savior. That's it. I find it interesting, by the way, that it's three times. That's precious to me. Just this once is his prayer request. Just this once. He's asking the Lord to vindicate his life one more time. In this request, he's asking God, renew the vow. You guys, he's not committing suicide. He's held captive by his enemies. He's been condemned to death. And he says, Lord, just this once, allow me to vindicate the call, the mission, the vow against these, my enemies. He's coming home late, no doubt about it, but he's coming home. Mom and Dad, you need to hear that. Your son may be 40, 50, 60 years old, I don't know, but your heart's broken, and you say, and I hear it from you, my son knows better. My daughter knows better. You know what? Pray, pray, and don't stop praying. Because you know what? Samson came home at the last second, at the last bit. Oh God, oh Lord, my Lord. Hear me just this once. He came home. He came home late, but he came home. A lot of people come home late, but they come home. Man, if that's you in your life, Christian, I don't know about you, but it's late. I'm not talking about the clock. I'm talking about the time and the age in which you and I live. Amen. For most people, they have their head buried in the sand. It's more comfortable to do that. I agree. I understand that. I know too much stuff. Most of the stuff I don't share with you because I'm just so grieved about what's going on in the global world, the agenda, the things that are coming against this country or intelligence briefings and stuff. It just drives me crazy. You don't want to know those things. It's easier. Put your head in the ground. Over a month ago, we knew about this. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm sorry. About a year ago. When we were in Israel, about a month ago. But a year ago, we were briefed a little bit on this super secret Israeli spy plane. He said, Jack, don't talk about it. It's on CNN this week. It's out. News is out. Super secret spy plane. And what they're reporting, by the way, on the news about what it does, they're telling you stuff that they can tell you. It's the stuff they're not telling you what it does. That's the cool stuff. But I don't want to know this stuff. I don't want to know what's going on. And the temptation is to put your head in the ground and not know. But listen, the Lord wants us to know. And Samson sees all this going on, and he says, Lord, just this once. Christian, I believe that the hour is now upon us that we live our faith without shame. There are people willing to blow themselves up for a lie, and Christians are tiptoeing around over the truth. In verse 29, it says, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. Wow. The man had been condemned to death. And in this effort, the enemy comes tumbling down. Now, why don't you grab your Bibles and go quickly to Romans chapter 7, because there's an analogy spiritually that we can take a peek at. Was Samson bound? Yes. Did he cry out to God in brokenness? Yes. Did God hear his cry? Yes. Well, listen. For those that you and I know who are bound in sin, will God hear their cry? Yes. But will they need to be broken? Yes. Do you have a friend who's wayward? Do you have a spouse? Are you here tonight wayward? Listen. See the path. See the destructive direction and call out to God. Cry out to God. You say, well, Jack, that's fine for those guys, but I'm a Christian. I'm doing okay with Jesus, but what about my life? Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. Romans 7, verse 6. Paul says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. Oh, wait a minute. What was Samson chained to? He was chained to a kingdom, right? The demands of his enemy. The Bible makes it very clear that the law cannot save you and I. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. It cannot save you. Did you know that? I hope you understand that. There are people in certain denominations, they think they're keeping the Ten Commandments. They've deceived themselves. They cannot be kept. That's why we want the Ten Commandments all over the place. You say, I don't get it. Because the Ten Commandments show us our need for God. The Ten Commandments are written in stone and they're immovable. They have no emotions. They're heartless. They're just granite, and they say, you've done wrong. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that it's the law that drives us to Christ. Listen how smart the enemy is. Remove the law and people won't see their need for Christ. Right? So, Paul says, hey, we were once chained, held by it, so that we should not serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Verse 7, what shall we say then? He's talking to Christians. Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Verse 8, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment. Do you see that? You see, if the law says don't sin, if I do sin, what happens? Here's the wicked thing about sin. And remember, liken it to Samson's life. Sin, when the law points out that this is sin, sin then turns around and comes after you and I and says, you've broken the law. God will never have you. You can't come to God, says sin. You're hopeless. You ever feel like that? You ever felt like that? And it produced in me all manner of evil desires. For apart from the law, sin was dead. You can't know sin unless the law is posted. I was alive once without the law. Paul was cruising around thinking, this is great. By the way, in other books of the Bible, he tells you just how self-righteous he was until the law showed up, and then it wiped them out. By the way, legalistic people are always very impressed with themselves, and they see themselves nigh unto perfect. But in reality, they are like a signpost without eyes. They can't see themselves. While they point at you, they can't see the fingers pointing back at them. Legalism does that, and a self-righteous person will be like that. It's dangerous. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Verse 11, for sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 13, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what was good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, the law makes sin look exactly like it is, death. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Remember how we were born? Remember the little baby freaking out? That little kid, before he ever had a chance to draw breath in this world, was already sold into sin. By who? Adam and Eve, our mom and dad. For what I am doing, listen to this, verse 15. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. Have you ever done something? You say, why did I do that? For what I will to do, that I do not practice. Don't you get up every morning wanting to do the very best for Christ? But you wind up not doing it. Why? But what I hate, that's the thing I do. Wow. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, verse 17, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Pause right there. Paul had an understanding of the new life in Christ that, you guys, is so cerebral, it is so genius, it is so insightful, it is so brilliant, that this is what we must do as Christians to understand something. And you guys, there's a fine line where we're heading into verse 18 that you got to be very careful that you don't cross. Because a person can take this scripture and say, hey, that's cool, I can go sin up a storm and then blame it on the sin that dwells within me and go and claim I'm a Christian. That's impossible. You can't do that. There has to be the struggle. There has to be the war inside of you loving and wanting to do the right thing and battling over the fact that so often you fail to do the right thing. God says, you're a Christian. Be encouraged tonight. That's us. Well, Jack, you're getting older. Does it get better as you get older? I don't know about that. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, there's things that I'm not doing that are gone now out of my life. But then I find out with each passing day, as the skin is stripped away, there's something new now. Well, when's it all going to end? The day you and I croak. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For what good that I, listen, for what good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find then a law that is present with me. The one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's the born again person, the inward guy. But I see another law in my members. Do you know what your members are? Your members are your eyes. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Your members are your eyes, your hands, your imagination, other body parts. My members want to run out of this building right now, and honestly, I'm hungry. My body wants to run from here and go straight to... No. But in my mind right now, in my carnal members, I would run to either tamarind over here, the Indian food right here, over the top. It's been a secret. I haven't told you guys about that for the last few years. Don't go there. It's terrible food. I would go there right now, or I would go to Wahoo's for fish tacos right now. That's what's in my members. It's like, yes. Oh. But I'm here right now. And I am choosing to do that which is good. To do that which is right. But you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know what? It's a beautiful day. And God says, yeah, it's a great day. Spend 30 minutes with me. Read my Bible. And you go, yeah, that's right on. Sure. Hey, come on. Let's. You see what I'm saying? Same thing. Don't look at me about the food thing. For you, it's another thing. He says, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's why you and I had to be born again. We were dead to God. We needed to be made new. Look at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Les Miserables. Remember Sunday? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Wow. See, what in the world? Paul woke up one day and realized, man, the very thing I want to do for God, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing it. Oh my goodness, what is going to happen with me? Am I going to be this tormented person for the rest of my life? What's the deal? And then he comes to the understanding, wait a minute. When Jesus died at the cross, my old man died there too. My sins were nailed to the cross. When Jesus rose again from the dead, when I came to faith in Christ, I was baptized into his death, and I was resurrected in his righteousness. This flesh has got to die. Church, do you understand that? There's only one exception. The rapture, God will metamorpho, the word is in Greek. The metamorpho. Metamorphosis, we use the word. Those who escape death in the rapture, we still have to be changed. You can't take this body to heaven. It's not allowed. It won't work. God will not allow it in. Not coming. Jack, you're not bringing it. You stink like sin. But you're saved and you're coming to heaven. So what do we do? If I'm alive when the rapture takes place and I'm planning on being alive when the rapture takes place, what's going to happen? Metamorphosis. 1 Corinthians 15, begin at verse 50. Read it later. That's your homework for tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, start at verse 50. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, read it later. I have to be changed. But for those who died, oh, their bodies will be resurrected, but they'll be new bodies, won't they? They'll be resurrected. Those who are alive and remain, the Bible says, at the coming of the Lord, will be metamorpho, changed in an instant. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a twinkling of an eye, 18 hundredths of a second. That's going to be awesome. See, yeah, but what about my friend who was eaten by a shark? And the shark ate him, and he's a Christian, and the shark's swimming around Channel Islands, Coronado, and the shark goes potty. How's this guy going to come back together? You guys, just because you can't see his body, listen, this is fun. Scientists in the gathering here tonight. Just because you can't see his body doesn't mean it's not there. Oh, that shark just made him dust faster than what the earth did. Dust we are and dust we shall return. When God resurrects the body, he puts not only the hip bone to the shoulder bone, or or whatever. He puts you together. And the resurrection is going to put us together. And our bodies will be fit for heaven. That's going to be awesome. Some of you are like, I don't, you know, some of the girls here tonight, they're like, I don't know if I want to do that now. Yeah, well, when you reach 30 and beyond, the rapture is the best news you ever get. Believe me. So back now to Judges. We have to end. We have 7 minutes. Back to Judges 16:30. 16:30. So the dead that Samson killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaroth in the tomb of his father Manoah. And Samson had judged Israel 20 years. End of his life. It's over. The Philistines that survived, it must have been amazing to see this. They all knew Samson pulled in their temple, killing their lords. The lords and the leaders of the Philistines. It's like Samson pulled down the capital in Washington, D.C. and took out the Congress and the Senate. The congressmen, think about that. Except he did 3,000 of them. Pulls in the thing, comes down. And then his parents, his family come to go get him. I mean, his brothers come to go get him, to get his body and retrieve his body. The Philistines, they didn't do a thing. You want him? You want him? Come and get him. And they take him away and they bury him in the tomb of his dad. The end of a tragic life, but I want to say this to you tonight. God is so absolutely committed to those who are his children, that if you tonight choose to go on in your life, you're a Christian, you're messing up. You're miserable, by the way. I think backslidden Christians are the most miserable people on the planet. You can see them a mile away. Do you know that? What, me? Hey, you think you're hiding it? We can, you know what? Especially if we knew you before. Your light bulb is out. I mean, your eyes, you're not shining. I mean, in the spirit, you can see it. It's time to call upon the Lord. It's better to come home late than to not come home at all.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Staying Fit for the Master's Use, it's actually the last in a 10-part series by that title, taken from Judges chapters 13 through 16. And today we took a look at chapter 16 and verses 21 through 31. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before we wrap up today's program, here's our teacher with an important announcement, especially if you're a regular listener to Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and it's that time of the year again where we as a church, as a ministry, take stock of us being good stewards of God's investment in the ministry here at Real Radio. And for that reason, we're asking you to let us know if you're listening. Is anyone out there listening to Real Radio? And so you could really help us by letting us know if you're there, by giving us the information about the station that you're listening to us on right now and the time of day. That would be great. Again, the station name and the time of day and website if possible. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, well again, for that contact information, it's always easily found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Once again, our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or as Pastor Jack said, you can also visit us at realradioactive.org. That's www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.